Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming up this hour, a couple of football notes I want to throw at you. And no, I don't have any inside scoop from Pittsburgh about what happens with Antonio Brown. It is sure the number one topic of speculation. It's even managed to eclipse the Nick Foles question when it comes to NFL offseason. And the people that I've come across in Pittsburgh, it's definitely a conversation with sports fans, even at the hockey game. The people I've come across, I would say the majority of Steelers fans are ready to be done with them. They're ready to see them walk. In the case of Le'Veon Bell, he's a free agent. In the case of Antonio Brown, they just want to make sure they get something in return for him. But they're kind of washing their hands of those two. So it's interesting to be here and to hear that conversation, that chatter around me in Pittsburgh. I'm at 93.7 The Fan, and I appreciate the opportunity to host my show from here for the first time. I hope it's not the last time. It's a really quick trip, but it was great to be at PPG Paints Arena for Sharks and Penguins. I made a lot of new friends. I talked to a lot of people, just not Doc Emrick, even though he was staring me in the face. I got nervous. I see, that's what happened to me. I No, I actually didn't even speak to him because I second-guessed myself and thought, wait a minute, that might not be him. It might just be somebody who looks like him. Duh! I'm so stupid. But yes, I got intimidated in that moment and I was afraid that he would laugh at me. So I said nothing. I missed my opportunity. I promise before the bottom of the hour, I will post the pictures on Facebook. I'm sorry. I've been busy trying to write a CBS Sports Minute and keep up with our show here. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So you're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And the debate over lowering the age for draft-eligible athletes to get into the NBA, it's a debate that's not new, but maybe has some new fuel to the fire because of the scary nature of the Zion Williamson injury. Now, thankfully, as you heard with Marco Belletti at the top of the hour, he is day-to-day. It's a minor knee sprain. It's not something that's expected to keep him out for a long period of time. In fact, there's even talk that he could be back for Syracuse on Saturday at the Carrier Dome, though that'd be a quick turnaround. Of course, he's sore, if nothing else, but we'll see. The NBA swears it's just a coincidence that this proposal was leaked the same time. And there is a reason why USA Today has this news. It's because the meeting between NBA Commissioner and Adam Silver and Union Chief Michelle Roberts, they were already scheduled to have a meeting post All-Star break on Monday. But now this is likely to be a major topic because there are some specifics, some deets, if you will, that they have to work out. This is not something that I ever thought of. It's just not where my mind operates. But as I was doing some reading, one of the things that Commissioner Silver is nervous about is that agents who get a hold of younger players, impressionable younger players, teenagers in this case, who don't have any college experience, could then keep any injury history to themselves, as opposed to sharing it with teams. All right, so think about it. When you go to college, you're talking about legit training staff. You're talking about injuries that would be of note. But that's different than high school. You're lucky if there's a box score that you can find in a newspaper or online for a lot of high school games. And so injuries can be kept under wraps. The specific nature of injuries can be hidden. And I never thought of that, but it's one reason why Commissioner Silver has been reluctant to allow this age to drop back to 18. Now, you remember, it used to be that players could make the direct jump from high school to the NBA. But in 2005, with their labor deal, the league actually got rid of that. It was one of their priorities, and they outlawed that. They outlawed that stipulation that players could make the jump directly to the NBA. But that was David Stern, and this is Adam Silver, though he was part of Stern's administration for years and years. He's a different cat. We know that Silver is a lot more progressive. So now the NBA has kind of changed its course and would like to allow early entry yet again. But the union has to agree with it. Now, I told you some of the other concerns that the owners and the teams have, which is that there could be an influx of 18-year-olds, teenagers, who regardless of body type, regardless of how good they look in high school, are not physically and mentally ready for the rigors of the NBA. And here's another example that I'll use. And I encounter this all the time at the college level. Okay, so I do play-by-play for college basketball. Someday want to do the NBA, but for now it's college. And you know what I see? Every January, every February, freshmen, first years, they hit the wall. They hit the wall hard. Physically and mentally, even if their bodies can still keep going, sometimes the mental aspect of it is much harder because they're jumping from high school where you play 20 games. You don't play that many games in high school. The season's a lot shorter. In many cases, you don't lift weights even. There's a lot of high school kids out there that never lifted weights for basketball. And the most talented ones don't even need to because their heads and shoulders are above the rest. So then they get into college, and not only are they studying, presumably, going to class, but then the season's much longer. It can be 30 games. There's road trips. There's bus trips. You're studying on the road. You're taking tests away from campus. And while it's great opportunities, it's also a lot to ask. And for kids who've never been through it before, sometimes it's shell shock. As much as the body may be willing, even if they're healthy, the mind sometimes, it's overwhelming. And so kids hit the wall. And then you get late in the season in conference play, and they get the second wind almost because they're excited about the potential for the playoffs and postseason. But yeah, I see it every year. It affects different kids at different points. But it's still just... it's still just a mammoth ask for an 18-year-old to go from high school to the NBA with an 82-game schedule where you want to talk about road trips, 5 games and 7 nights in different cities. I mean, at some point you're just overwhelmed is a good word for it, but you're just unable to process. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We have a bunch of current and former NBA players weighing in. Olden Polonies is an NBA veteran. He was a guest on Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio on Thursday, and he was talking about this idea of allowing 18-year-olds to make the jump directly to the NBA.
You know, I've been against this whole thing for so many years. You know, they can go to war and die at 18, but they can't go play basketball at 18. That is the most absurd thing I've ever seen. And so to me, you know, they had to make that change. And it's been talked about for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's sad. You know, everybody's making money. And I get tired of this, you know, this crap about, well, you know, they're getting a free education. No, you're not getting a free education. You are getting an opportunity to get an education.
Right.
It's not a guarantee that you're getting an education. And the one and done to me is worst of all because – I know I'm only going to be there for a year. What kind of classes am I taking? What kind of, you know, what am I really learning? And so it's all a big joke.
So that's Olden Polonies, who's an NBA veteran. And I don't know how I feel about the correlation between an 18-year-old can sign up to be a member of our military and potentially could be asked to serve in combat. Yes, that is the case, but what does that have to do with basketball? It's not about for the most part, and I believe this with Adam Silver, to be sure, it's not about keeping these kids from realizing their dreams. This is not an evil NBA who doesn't want 18-year-olds to be happy. It's about the product that the NBA is putting on the court. I mean, let's be honest. As much as Adam Silver and the owners can say, oh, yes, we worry about these young kids getting rich and burning out too fast, they also care about their product. In fact, they care far more about their product. They don't want a crappy product on the court. But there's a trickle-down effect. There are really only a handful of 18-year-olds. Maybe every 5 years. Who knows how many LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, Moses Malone, Kobe Bryant, who can make the jump from high school and make an impact that we remember. Not many. But there are going to be far more who believe they can. And so I'm interested to know what happens with their NCAA eligibility. Will college basketball allow them to go back to school or decide they're going to go to school if they don't get drafted or if it doesn't work? Or is that it? Let's say they get drafted, they burn out in training camp. Maybe they have an injury, so they're not going to play right away. Can they still preserve their college eligibility? Well, the answer to that question at this point has been no. Will the NCAA consider adjustments to allow these young men to come back to school or to go to school after the fact? Charles Barkley was talking about this topic on Inside the NBA, and he went over and over. He really hammered home the value of education. And he said, I didn't get my degree. I wish that I had. And he said, but I feel like NBA players who've made it are disingenuous when they say, oh, allow these guys to go. Allow them to play in the NBA. Who needs an education? And like Olden Polonese is saying, how much education are they getting when they believe they're going to make the jump after 1 year in college? But what Barkley is saying is that those guys in the NBA who are speaking about it, they're not qualified to make that determination because they've already made it. So they don't need the education. For those who didn't graduate, for those who didn't stay in school all 4 years, or maybe they did stay in school all 4 years but didn't finish their degree, they already made it. So they don't need their education to succeed. Whereas the majority of young men and women who go to college, even if they do play a sport at the D1 level, are likely not going pro in that sport, which means they need the education. And so I appreciate that from Charles Barkley, because a lot of times he comes across as a big goofball, a buck the system guy. But what he's saying is don't listen to the NBA players who tell you you don't need an education and you should play basketball instead. You should be able to go at 18 directly to the NBA if that's what you want to do. Because those guys already have the millions of dollars, so they don't need the education to fall back on. But the majority of young college basketball players are not going to be successful in the NBA. Let's be honest. There's only, what, 400-something players in the NBA? There's a lot more college basketball players who would like the opportunity and aren't going to get it. 855-212-4227. I've seen a bunch of your tweets as well that I'll try to share. A-Law Radio. And on our Facebook page as well. Thanks so much for all of your Welcome to Pittsburgh tweets. It's always fun to take the show on the road because I know that many of you who listen in this city, in this market, and that applies to any place, Atlanta, Boston, Baltimore, when I've taken the show on the road the last year, it's always great to hear from you. So thank you for the welcomes, for the offers for coffee and for dinner, for letting me know the best places to eat, for warning me about the construction. It's all good stuff. It's all necessary. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
This is against one of the best rebounding teams in the country in North Carolina.
Zion went down. Looked like he hyperextended his leg. He is down, slipped. Why? Perhaps some perspiration on the floor, and this place got quiet awfully quickly.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thankfully, Zion Williamson will be okay. He's listed as day-to-day, so game-to-game with a minor knee sprain. And not just college basketball, but Duke, his teammates, Coach Krzyzewski, all breathing a sigh of relief and making sure that he's got some new sneaks to wear when he gets back on the court. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The call there with Tim Brando on Raycom Sports Network. 855-212-4227 is our toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So the NBA is looking at lowering the draft-eligible age to 18. And Adam Silver, as commissioner, will meet with union chief Michelle Roberts, and they'll talk about the specifics. They got to hammer out the details. You can't just leave it to chance because there are so many variables and uncertainties. The NBA does want to wade back in, but they've struggled with this topic for quite a while now. It's not a brand new idea for Adam Silver. They've gone back and forth on ending one-and-dones and allowing high school seniors to enter the league, and this could potentially now start with the 2022 draft. So still a couple of years down the road. And I wonder, though, about the young men who don't then get drafted, who think they're going to jump directly to the NBA, but it doesn't happen. Can there be options for them? Maybe one of the developmental leagues with the NBA. Maybe the NBA can start its own version of the AAF, though I know right now the AAF and the NFL are not affiliated. If they were affiliated, maybe the Alliance of American Football wouldn't be having financial problems already. All right, let's go to our phones here. JJ is in Honolulu. JJ, welcome to After Hours.
Yeah, hi, Amy. Thank you for taking my call. I kind of agree with what the NBA is doing because it's the organization, the teams that will be drafting that individual from high school. They'll decide anyway if they want this individual or not. I mean, if he's like a Zion Williams type of person with that type of caliber of playing, then I see a reason why, yeah, they should just draft him instead of him doing the one and done thing like a lot of these other athletes been doing. So I agree that they should look into it, and I hope they start it in 2022, because give these guys the opportunity. I know they're young. I know they're just out of high school and they may not know how to manage their money and things like that, but at least they get that exposure that they need. I remember when Kobe Bryant came to the NBA and I saw how he played. Mm-hmm. I mean, he faced some tough opponents. I mean, even Michael Jordan at the time, but at least it gave him some exposure of what he expects to see in the next few years. And just, it'll just groom him up to be a better player. And that's why I think it's great that the NBA is looking into this. So, and I also wanted to comment on the Lakers game and LeBron, because I know there was talk about LeBron talking about this playoff type of caliber that he wants to play. And we all have to remember LeBron's been playing in the finals 8 straight seasons. I mean, this guy's NBA season is longer than anybody else in the NBA right now that is playing right now. His season, I mean, his time of playing each year is longer. So it's taken a toll on his body. I know he had injury during the first half of the season. I mean, I just hope the other players can step up. I mean, tonight's game was just an example of how they came together in the second half, and I just mm-hmm. want to see that kind of exposure, that kind of play time that these other guys are playing, because they've had a lot of close games that they could have won, but there was a few blowouts that they've had as well. But I just hope that they can come and get in the playoffs this time around. I know they're ranked 10th right now, and hopefully. But I know Sacramento's a good team. I see these guys play. They're a young team too, but I'd like to see the Lakers get in the playoffs again. This will be LeBron's 9th straight playoff season, and it'll be great for him to carry this team But I know there's a lot of doubters out there thinking that they're not going to make the playoffs.
Well, they have to prove it. I mean, they have to prove it, JJ. The fact is, one guy, while he might be able to drag them to the playoffs, can't make them a contender. But you're right about LeBron. With all the experience, if anybody can do it, he definitely can. And it looks like they've come back from the All-Star break more refreshed, ready to go, maybe putting the trade speculation behind them, as tough as that was. Thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate listening. JJ calling us from Honolulu. Let's talk to Antoine, who's in California. Antoine, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. Great conversation. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, I just think that when we're dealing with these 18-year-olds, we should keep it in a perspective of all the other sports, like gymnastics, like tennis, like golf. You know, we have a lot of young men who are gaining a lot of attention and a lot of media spotlight, making a lot of money, and we're just concerned around the people surrounding them. But we never hear conversations about what was going to happen to Jordan Spieth when he turned pro in the PGA. So I think we should keep the perspective on these young people doing that. And as far as with the college goes, you know, these kids declare themselves to play. There's scouts in the NBA that has to put them on those rosters. Now, just because you declare doesn't mean that you're eligible to make it. And that should not, if you don't touch a basketball on after a preseason game, and you should be able to go and play college ball. All you got was some good training, some good advanced athletics and working out. But at 18, yeah, you can go to war. You can get married. You can earn $1 million in the stock market. You can earn $1 million doing a whole lot of things. So why not capitalize on what God
But it's
here?
Not right. But it's not just that, though. So like that's the idea is people think the NBA is being mean and not allowing these guys to enter the league. But what it's been about is that they don't want to water down their product. They don't want guys who can't handle it because it's bad for the league. So I hate to break it to you, but the NBA is not altruistic in that they're worried about these young men. No, they're worried about their own product. They're worried about bringing these guys on board and not knowing their injury history or drafting them with a high pick and then realizing that they're not ready for it. They're not worried about the kids. They're worried about themselves. And they could certainly dress it up like these kids need some training, but ultimately it's about the NBA wanting its product to be the best possible. And they feel like, to this point at least, having the 1 year in college is a better training ground for anything that they could provide. But you make some really good points. Antoine, thank you so much. We're at the bottom of the hour, so I have to let you go, but I appreciate your phone call. 855-212-4227. Randy says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, high school to pros happens really rarely. Moses, Kobe, LeBron, KG. Why would we open the floodgates? I say it's bad news. People need to develop so they don't become busts. Right. I mean, there's just no one formula, though. That's the problem, is that different young people develop and have different skills and have different mental capacities and the ability to handle something like the NBA more than others. So there's no one right formula to be able to pinpoint who those young men are. Oscar says, Oscar says, I totally agree with you about young players in the NBA. 18 to 20 is fine for the select few, but for the most part, they don't pan out. A few years, even one in college, would make a huge difference, adding to the quality of both NCAA and the NBA. I mean, that's true. College basketball, I don't know how they're going to fall on this, if they even have a say, but certainly it threatens to take away from their product as well if the best players go directly to the NBA. And then, let's see, John says, for every LeBron, Kobe, and KG, when the last time high schoolers went pro, people forget the Kwame Browns and the Rodney Whites. If you're lucky, you might get a Jermaine O'Neal. I mean, it's hit or miss. There are no guarantees, right? It's like any other draft. You just don't know what's going to happen when they actually get on the court or the field or the ice, and their sport is their job. So on Twitter or on Facebook, plus our phone number, 855-212-4227, Guess what? We finally have the reaction of Case Keenum when he found out he lost his job with the Denver Broncos. It's interesting. And some other football news and notes to throw at you, and we'll take more of your calls.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I just got the coolest visit in studio. When the mics were off, I'll tell you about it coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I am such a delinquent when it comes to social media. There are some pictures up on Twitter, so check it out on our show account, After Hours CBS. There's a picture of a Premonti Brothers sandwich, which is ginormous. Some pictures of my visit to PPG Paints Arena. Beautiful arena. Really enjoyed being there. And also the cups, the Stanley Cups. I walked by them the first time, and there was a crowd of people in front of them. So all these people milling around, and I couldn't very well ask them to move out of the way so I could take a picture. But on my way out, the lobby was empty. And so I stopped and took two pictures, even though I looked like a tourist and not a member of the media. So those are up on our show Twitter and also mine, A-Law Radio. It's great to be here at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. That's one of my favorite cities in the U.S., but I haven't been here in about 10 years just because my mom moving and me moving. And so it's fun to be back. The city has changed a lot, clean and up and coming. And I just so far have been really pleased with my few hours here. Plus, there's gifts. I'll explain. All right. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And I will get back to your tweets and your comments about this idea of 18-year-olds making the jump directly from high school to the NBA. And I keep hearing from you, and I heard it from Olden Polonese as well in his comments to Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio. You can hear that whole conversation on our website, cbsportsradio.com. People keep looking at this through the lens of, why are you limiting these 18-year-olds? Why aren't you allowing them to do what they want? They're adults. They can get married. They can join the military. They can vote. All of these things. But I feel like you're missing the point. The reason that the NBA changed that rule was not to be mean to 18-year-olds, to discriminate against 18-year-olds. The reason they changed the rule is because, first of all, it applied to only a handful of young men. There's only so many 18-year-olds that literally can play in the NBA. They can have dreams of playing in the NBA, but those dreams don't pan out for most of these guys, right? So you're talking about a handful of guys. And in addition, at the time it was David Stern, when they changed the rule back so that they instituted you have to go to college, you can't jump directly from high school, it was more about the product that the NBA was putting on the floor. It was more about the image and reputation that the NBA was trying to uphold, and yet having 18-year-olds who weren't mentally, physically, even emotionally equipped, trying to make the jump to the league and then burning out or becoming busts, not knowing how to handle their fame or their fortune. So it's really about the league itself, not about we don't like 18-year-olds and we don't want them to play in our league. I mean, you got to think about it. It's the NBA is a big business. Just like the NFL, these leagues are always going to do what's best for them. I don't want to say they don't care about their players, because I believe they do, but that's the role of the union. Let's be honest. The owners, the teams, the commissioner, the league offices, they're trying to make money. They're trying to expand their brand, increase their fan base. It's up to the union to care about the players. And so that's why they've gone back and forth on this, and why Michelle Roberts and Adam Silver will have another go at it, coming up on Monday. But this is the formal proposal that's out there right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Before we get to Case Keenum and his, pretty candid, raw reaction to getting replaced by Joe Flacco in Denver, let's talk to Denise, who's in Boston. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I listen to you every morning driving in with my husband to work. and I love listening to you. You just crack me up. I'm not a,
oh,
I'm a
good.
Sports, I'm an all over sports person. I like a little bit of everything, but it's all more for my husband, keeping him quiet in the car. So we turn you up.
The truth comes out.
You know, and he knows it too. He's not with me now. I just dropped him off, but he knows the truth.
Oh, cool. Happy to help, Denise.
The comments I have are basically because I'm a mother. And I think it's important. And I know you said you're talking about a handful of 18-year-olds. But mm-hmm. if they open it up and allow it to be you know, what some people want it to be, allowing them, I think you can have more than just a handful of people who want to, boys who want to do this.
And who want to, yeah. Probably not who right. can do it, though.
Right. So in of these amount of kids who can do this, how many of them later in life will have the opportunity to say, oh, I should have went with college. I had that opportunity. Now that I'm either injured, God forbid, or retired, now what do I have to fall back on? My media? I mean, not that that's not always a bad thing, but there should be some kind of college education where, because nowadays it's so hard to get a decent job without some kind of background, learning a skill, learning something.
Right.
To fall back on when you go to retire as I am approaching that age.
I would agree with that. And I know that some of these leagues, in fact, a lot of these leagues, they start to do education and classes. So obviously these are not traditional, but they do classes and courses where members of their union can start to prepare for life after the league. But that's for guys who've accrued time, who are looking for their next careers. You make a really good point. What about the young men, the 18-year-olds who try and fail? My biggest request would be that the NBA and the NCAA allow for these kids who don't get drafted, who don't play in the league, still have the chance to go to college. Why limit them? And I understand the whole business about amateur status, but if they don't make any money on it, or if they're willing to give back their signing bonus, whatever it is, if they don't make it, I wish that they could then go back to college because they shouldn't have to pick one or the other. I understand, again, the whole idea of being an amateur in the NCAA, but there's got to be some way that they can back out of it if they realize it's not for them.
Don't penalize them. It shouldn't be a penalty.
I agree with that, Denise. Thank you so much for your phone call. And thank you and your husband for listening every morning, even if it's just so he doesn't talk.
I enjoy it as well. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thanks, Denise. Happy Friday. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, whatever the reason that you listen, I'm just glad that you tune in. People tell me a lot. In fact, I try to convince my mom of this because she has sleep issues. People tell me all the time that they fall asleep listening to the show. Hey, if what you need is sleep, then I'm happy to oblige. Although I have no idea how you could fall asleep to me laughing or making all the kinds of noise that I do. I'm not quiet, so maybe you have the volume turned way down. All right, so I promised you this. Case Keenum is finally reacting to John Elway and the Broncos trading for Joe Flacco. Believe you me, he was as blindsided as the rest of the NFL and its fans, but he did at least get a heads-up phone call from Elway before the news broke.
You know, we had a great conversation, so, you know, which he didn't have to do, and I appreciated that. You know, I was definitely shocked. It was a surprise for us, you know, and I think probably for the first, you know, day or so, that's kind of what it was, but... you know, for us, we're definitely disappointed. It's not something we wanted to happen. I know that, you know, everybody's doing their job and John feels like that was a chance for him to help the Broncos out. So for us, you know, it's another chapter in our lives and we're going to, you know, we're going to roll with it.
Case Keenum on the Sports Spectrum podcast. I've done that podcast actually with Jason Romano. That's cool. Now I feel special. So Case talking about he and his wife, his family. Now we're gonna roll with it. We're gonna figure out what to do next. Maybe because a few days have passed by. Actually, I don't remember when that trade was made. Has it been a week now? Maybe he's had some time to think, to process, to figure out what he wants to say. But you still get the raw element to it. You still get the honest. Pain might be too strong, but the feeling of being blindsided, not so much anxiety, but just the honesty of, wow, this was completely unexpected and we don't know what we're going to do next. So Case Keenum making his first public comments on the Sports Spectrum podcast. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. It's not football season, but I wish it was. Do you want to know why? I just got a really cool gift from the members of the 93.7 morning show crew. So again, I'm in Pittsburgh at 93.7 The Fan, hosting my show on the road here. And the crew just came to introduce themselves. It was great. I got to meet Colin and Chris and Jim and their producer, Matt. And they came with a chip and dip contraption. Okay, this thing is ginormous. It's like, think about Ultimate Frisbee, but one of those huge discs. this particular, so it's big round plate in the middle. It has a little bowl where you would put the dip, right? Or the guac, or I mean, I like mango salsa, whatever it is. And it's decorated. The top of the container has the Steelers logo, and then the top of the little bowl has its own cover. And so it's also got the Steelers logo. And so now I want football season to be here so that when I'm watching 12 hours of football, I don't have to get up to go get the chips and the salsa. Lime chips and mango salsa. I'm coming for you with my new Steelers chip and dip plate. So thank you guys. Very kind of you to come over and introduce yourselves and also to bring me a gift. I will not forget. And I certainly won't forget standing in the shadow of Heinz Field as I was waiting for the light rail to take me down to PPG Paints Arena, on Thursday night. It's been pretty cool to be on the North Shore and to be right there and see the bridges and see the stadium. And there's a casino there. And Duquesne then is right near PPG Paints. And so I feel like I've gotten a taste of downtown Pittsburgh just in the few hours that I've been here. So that was really cool. I was not expecting that. But it's good to meet you guys in person for sure. It's one of my favorite things about taking the show on the road is the people that I get a chance to meet. And so I may talk to you or hear from you on Twitter, social media, or in the case of a lot of our radio affiliates, their individual hosts will come on the show at times. But to be able to shake hands and make eye contact and have a conversation in person is completely different. So it was awesome to be at the arena on Thursday night and meet Phil, who is a super fan, he says. He says he listens to the show all the time. He was an usher on the media level. And then Paul, who told me to that he wouldn't make me pay for my media meal. But he was a big fan of the show as well, and so the dinner was on him. So thank you, guys. Really cool to be treated so well in Pittsburgh. 1 hour to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.